commandments. We're on the 10th commandment, verse 17 of Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Been looking the last few weeks of how covetousness is condemned all through the Word of God. It, of course, is approved by the world, but it is hated by God. We saw that last week. We see the wickedness of covetousness by the sins that it's listed with throughout the Word of God. We looked at that last week. We see that covetousness is connected with oppression. It is connected with false dealing. And we closed last week. Most have been convinced that covetousness is a sin of Wall Street, and certainly that is so, but covetousness is not just a sin of the wealthy and the well-to-do. It's just as much in poor communities as it is wealthy. It's a sin of all people. I want to look this week that it is condemned. Covetousness is condemned because it's connected with formal and empty worship. Notice in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, we'll read verse 31 and verse 32. In verse 30, there's an invitation to come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, that is, as God's people would come, they continue to come, and they sit before thee as my people. Everything looks fine. They hear thy words, and we have a problem, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, and here's the root of the problem, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Their heart, even though they're going through the form of worship, they've assembled, they're hearing, but they do not obey, and the reason is their heart goeth after their covetousness. That is, perhaps they sit there, and their mind, their heart is upon earthly things. As soon as the service is over, they're back to their earthly things. Their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song, as one that hath a pleasant voice. And in mind, Isaiah preaching, as long as it did not affect their life. And he has unto them a lovely song. That is, they actually enjoyed Isaiah's preaching or the word of the Lord, but they had no intention of obeying. And can play well on an instrument. They had talent that they put on display during the worship service. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. We all know that true worship requires the heart. It involves a conscious awareness of God. You cannot worship God in spirit and truth if you're not even aware
of God. They were not aware of God because their heart was upon things that they desired. Their heart was upon the material. Their heart goeth after covetousness. True worship, of course, requires godly desires. That wasn't the case here. Their heart goeth after their covetousness. True worship, the heart is united to God. There's a uniting, there's a bonding with the Lord. Again, that was not the case here, because their heart goeth after covetousness. True worship, there's a reverence for God. And if you have a reverence for God, that will not allow your heart to go after covetousness. So once again, the reverence for God was not there. It's a humility toward God. The humble individual does not covet. It's pride that covets. So the very fact that their heart goeth after covetousness shows they were not humble people, but that they were a proud people. And a proud people cannot worship the Lord. True worship, of course, includes love to God, thankfulness to God, and covetousness and thankfulness are really contrary to one another. If you're thankful, you're content. The covetous are not marked by thankfulness. They are marked by unthankfulness. Of course, true worship includes praise for God, commitment to God, surrender to God, conformity to God. But none of these things were there. And the reason is because their heart goeth after covetousness. And when it says here that their heart goeth after their covetousness, it means that they were engrossed in the things of the world. The covetousness consumed their heart. Earthly desires, whatever it was, could be a material thing, it could be an emotional thing, it doesn't matter at this point. But it was earthly desires that consumed their heart. This is covetousness. And covetousness and worship do not go together. Covetousness will prevent true worship of God. Now, this is true in a variety of ways. First of all, one is not in the right mindset. That's obvious. Not being in the right mindset will hinder a proper hearing of the Word of God. You cannot worship if God's Word is not given a proper place. Now notice in Matthew 13, Jesus, in the parable, we'll notice two verses and we see that covetousness is a sin that will hinder the Word of God, the hearing of the Word of God, and will do so in several different ways. But in verse 7, and some, that is some of the seed, fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. He explains this, explains the meaning of it in verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. That remember in Ezekiel 33, they were there. They heard the word. In fact, it was a lovely song to them. They even enjoyed it. They heard the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and the result is he becometh unfruitful, or the individual, this particular type of hearer, becomes unfruitful. So covetousness affects the hearing of the Word of God. The obvious, of course, is covetousness will cause some to be absent physically from the preaching of God's Word. They absent themselves from the preaching of God's Word. That's the obvious. That, of course, is a hindrance to hearing the Word of God. Also, those who do come that are overtaken with covetousness, it will cause many not to give proper attention to the Word of God. Not a proper response to the preaching of the Word of God. Covetousness, again, is earthly desires that take priority over godly desires. This certainly is a problem when it comes to the giving proper attention to the Word of God. There's a big difference between hearing and giving proper attention. We hear many things that we pay little attention to. There's a difference. There is to be a proper hearing, and a proper hearing includes proper attention. And how do we know that we're giving proper attention? Because if there is proper attention, there will be a proper response to the Word of God. And the only proper response to the Word of God is surrender to it, is submit to whatever God says. But covetousness is a hindrance to proper attention to the Word of God. It results in a carelessness in spiritual matters. The individual who's covetous is more concerned about material things, more concerned about earthly matters than they are spiritual matters. In fact, they are very careless when it comes to spiritual matters. Now, in verse 22, in describing the seed among the thorns, Jesus made it quite clear that covetousness in the heart is a distraction to the hearing of God's Word. It is a distraction to the practicing of God's Word. Notice the words there, the deceitfulness of riches. He's not condemning riches here. It's the deceitfulness of riches. That is, the individual who is deceived by riches, thinking that that's where it is, riches. This is what's going to improve my life. I mean, it is absolute insanity. I am going to work on Sunday because that's going to improve my family's life. You're deceived. I'm going to absent myself from the preaching of God's Word to better my life. That's crazy. That person's lost their mind. The best way to improve your life is to give proper attention to the Word of God. That will improve your life. That will improve your family's life. Not the things of the world. So that's what we mean here by the deceitfulness of riches. So this individual shows up to the worship service. He hears, but his mind is upon earthly matters, and that attitude chokes the Word of God. It strangles it. It stifles it. And the individual becomes unfruitful spiritually. So, covetousness is stifling to the hearing and the practicing of the Word of God. It is stifling to spirituality. That's always so. There's never, ever an exception. So it's a hindrance to the hearing of God's Word. It is also a hindrance to real prayer. Again, there's all kinds of forms of worship, but then there is real worship. Jesus said, John 4, verse 24, they must worship me in spirit and truth. Real worship. There's also all kinds of things that are called prayer. But then there's true prayer. There's true prayer. In the book of James, chapter 4, book of James, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? He's not talking about world wars and wars between countries. He's talking between believers. Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust, that is, ye desire, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have. So there it is again. Ye lust and have not, and they desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, now this isn't a contradiction. Ye ask not, again he's talking about something else here. Ye ask and receive not. Here's why, because ye ask amiss. You ask improperly, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. There's covetousness. Now, because the covetous individual lacks spiritual understanding, someone may say, well, how do you know the covetous individual lacks understanding? Well, it's obvious. Anytime someone puts something ahead of the spiritual, they lack understanding. They don't understand. So the covetous individual lacks spiritual understanding. As a result, he has a misplaced trust. He has a misplaced trust. Puts his trust in material things. This being so, they will do one of two things. They will either ask not pray at all, or they will pray, but they will ask amiss. They will not properly pray. They pray to fulfill their desires. Once again, it would do us good to examine our prayer life. What we pray for says much about our spirituality. It says much where we are. It says it really identifies whether or not we're covetous. How many times, the only time people pray is when they need a job or they need this or they need that. Well, what are they doing? They're doing exactly what James 4 verse 3 is talking about, that you may consume it upon your lust. The only reason you're asking is to get something. That's covetousness. So the covetous individual either not pray or will either pray wrongly, ask amiss. And either way is wrong. Either way has the same results. You ask not, you do not have. You ask amiss, you do not have. So this covetous individual will either pray or not pray. Prayer is hindered by covetousness. Also, it is condemned by being connected with violence and theft. You could read the biblical account of Naboth's vineyard. A good example of covetousness. A good example of violence because of covetousness. Notice, though, in Micah chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. They contemplate in their minds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. That is, because they're able to do so. And they covet fields, and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Again, the rich can be guilty of this. The poor can be guilty of this. Man breaks into your house to steal. He's covetous. He's a thief, but he's covetous. Kills somebody for some money. He's covetous. And we see covetousness and evil plotting and evil activity go together here in Micah 2, verses 1 and 2. There's an evil plotting. Covetousness plots evil. Again, the rich may plot to take advantage of their workers. The poor may plot to take advantage of the welfare system, but they plot. Covetousness plots. And covetousness takes. It takes. And again, there's more than one way of taking. It is also condemned by the fact that it should never be part of a child of God. It should not be in our lives. The Bible makes this very clear. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Again, notice covetousness is listed with fornication and moral uncleanness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In other words, this is not becoming of a child of God. Let it not once be named among you. Let us not be identified, not even once, with covetousness. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our lives are to be without covetousness. The reason for he. There's the reason. Again, a properly placed trust does away with covetousness. The reason we are not to covet is for he. We're dependent upon him. We're dependent upon his promises. It is so unbecoming of a child of God that it is to be prayed against. We're all, because of sinful flesh, we're all prone to covetousness. We all have covetous tendencies. And we are to pray against covetousness in our own life. Notice in closing in Psalm 119 and verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. He's praying that God would not allow him to be covetous. But he sees how that comes about. The heart has to be set upon the right thing. And that's why he prays, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Incline my heart unto the spiritual. Incline my heart unto the word of God. Because this is the cure for covetousness. So we are to... Covetousness is wicked. It's evil. It's a very dangerous thing, which we'll see next week. There are many, many, many dangers involved in covetousness. And realizing that and realizing our tendency to be covetous, we are to plead with God that he would incline our heart toward him, toward spiritual matters. Plead with God to remove covetousness from our lives. This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians that they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. That's covetousness. You look at somebody else and you begin to make comparisons. And it's a form of covetousness. And there's many forms of covetousness, which we're not going to go into. But God help us not to be guilty of covetousness, not to be overtaken with the sin of covetousness. It will ruin your life. It will ruin your family. It will ruin it. It's a very destructive, as all sin, it's very, very destructive and therefore dangerous. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, again for your commandments and how you instruct us through them to how to live and how your commandments protect us, Lord, from society and also protect us from ourselves. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us these things. Pray, Lord, that we would take them to heart. We pray that you'd be with us as we worship you today, that our worship would be in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to have our minds entirely upon thee, with every intent to obey your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.